We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
The sound of the final buzzer means it's
what is up, everybody? You know by that music, you know what it means. It means that there has been a light-skinned opinions takeover of Hangover Time tonight in honor of Martin Luther King Day. It's fucked up because we should have had the day off because we're black, but whatever. You know, they asked us to step up. Black people, just like this past election, you know, in Georgia, we stepped up and we took over. All right. So tonight, you know, bring me back out. We got the cast of light skin opinions. We got my man Parrish. What's going on, Parrish? What you sipping on tonight?
Oh, I got some rum and I got some grapefruit juice. Rum and grapefruit.
Rum and grapefruit, okay.
Oh, wow.
Taking care of the insides and getting fucked up.
That's Boca Raton of you.
Yeah. the man with the opinions to the left, the light-skinned opinions, old big-head-ass Christopher Maddox. What's going on, my good friend?
What's going on, everybody?
How y'all doing? What you sipping on tonight?
I got a little Jose Cuervo. A little bit.
Yeah. What, are you just taking shots? Or you making or something?
Well, no, it's with a little ginger ale. I was feeling very big boy. You're sipping on Quavo Gold off in the club, drunkies. If you can finish that line, you raw.
I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about. Anyway.
The worst.
I know. Listen, I stopped listening to music back in 2002, and I don't regret it. Tiffany Meeks.
I don't regret it.
My right hand. What are you drinking tonight, Tiffany?
No alcohol.
No alcohol tonight?
No.
After Saturday night with the drip drop game, you done.
I got a 6 a.m. alarm.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Listen, so do I, but I still got a little Sprite and over here. Siobhan, what are you drinking? I know you got at least one fist on it tonight, or you double fisted on a Monday night.
No, we still got two on a Monday. Robert Mondavi, Sauvignon. That's the only white wine I drink. And then Jim Beam bonded.
Oh, wow.
Nice. Okay.
To the
I'm
right.
I'm telling you, listen, Siobhan always comes through. Listen, she's like my drinking idol. Like, I'm trying to be like Siobhan when I grow up. Okay, so we got a heat win. And for some reason, we all a little dejected by this heat win because there's some things that pissed us off. But at the end of the day, the Heat won a game against the Pistons, a team they should have beat without two of their five starters. Okay. Two of their best players were out. This whole week has been tough. These guys haven't played together a lot. We can make a lot of excuses, but there were some positives in the night. So before we start harping on some of the negatives, if y'all been following my Twitter timeline, I'm lighting people up left and right. I'm pissed off about this game, but I'm going to go around the horn and I'm going to ask you guys for some positives because nobody better take Tiffany's because Tiffany going to have to eat some words tonight. We all do, but Tiffany going to be the chief among us. I'm going to start over with you, Chris. We're going to go clockwise. What was your most positive takeaway from tonight's game?
My most positive takeaway from tonight's game was Kendrick Nunn, man. I'm a Nunn fan. People don't like the man. Ever since we interviewed him at Press Day a million years ago, it feels like, I said, you know what, this guy, but it was good to see him. I like it when he's aggressive with the ball, and it's usually when the team is down, like when they're down in terms of personnel. So I was good to see that. Glad to see that and hope that it can maybe spark something because we're going to need what he can bring on nights like he brought tonight.
That was Kendrick Nunn had an 18-5. We understood what you meant. 18-5-3 led the team in plus minus tonight. Played 34 minutes, was one of the leaders on the team in minutes. I believe Brass has a picture of Kendrick Nunn to go with some of, Tiffany Meek's nickname for him. she calls him the Dark Knight. I think it's kind of we should have done that on MLK Day, but it is what it is. We here for the jokes first and foremost. Racism comes second. Parrish, what was your positive for the night?
My positive was Dragic, the Dragon, man. I'm a little skeptical about our point guard play right now. Like we need a little help. And whenever I see Dragic playing well, it makes me feel good. He picked it up when Bam was kind of struggling in the first half a little bit. So I liked it.
Yeah, I mean Dragic 22-3-3 tonight. Missed that free throw late. I need Dragic's numbers on late game free throws. I feel like he misses them all the time, but he did what he's supposed to do. He gives you, and I call, you know, I'm turning to karate right now. I call those relief points, right? He gives sometimes like when shit ain't going right. Yeah. Karate invented basketball, if you guys didn't know. Goran Dragic gives you those relief points, right? In times when nothing's really going right, he's one of those guys when Jimmy Butler is out that can put his head down and get to the basket and get you some points and create something out of nothing. Kendrick Nunn was doing that in the first half of last year and then completely fell off the planet on some Kyrie Irving flat earth shit. I don't know what happened, but he's hopefully tonight, like Chris said, is a precursor of something more. Honestly, I was going clockwise, but I'm going to you last, Tiffany Meeks. I'm going to you last because you got some crow to eat. Siobhan, what was your most positive thing from tonight?
I'm going to say Goran also. And I just appreciate his steadiness. I still think we're asking too much of him. It's good to see that he's going to give us what he's going to give us. Second string, starting, but you know, we knew that that's not any new revelation to us. So I truthfully don't have too much positive. Kendrick was talked about by Chris. I'm gonna say Goran as well. And maybe Tyler. I like seeing Tyler engaged on the sideline. That's always what you want out of anyone that's not, you know, currently in the game or in the game at the time. But I hope he can see and sees and pays attention to how impactful he can be. But, you know, he can only do what it is that's being asked of him to do. And if we're asking him to play make and do all those things, then that kind of is what that is. But I'll say Goran.
I do think that – I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, look at you giving drip drop shine on the bench, man.
I do think there's something to be said for Tyler watching this game and seeing what they're missing and what he could bring to the game if he was playing.
Because, like, there's just no ball handling. You saw, what was it, Robinson and Kelly Olynyk make, like, four turnovers, like, back-to-back.
In a row. Like, what the fuck were they doing?
like, what's happening?
You know, Kelly O always get hype. You know, sometimes the worst thing that happens with Kelly Olynyk is he hits a couple big shots, and after that, he starts in and out and down the court and doing all type of crazy stuff. He need to just chill sometimes, you know. But I really think that Tyler Hero was
slowest in and out.
The slowest in it. That's why it always gets getting finger poked.
Before we get into more of that analysis, Chris, Tiff got her most positive for the gay. I need it. Wait. Before we do that, let's show. Where's that picture, Brass?
Oh, where is it?
There it is. There you go.
Wow.
Cheers.
Tiff, who was your most? What was your most positive takeaway from the game?
We got a little mo.
Okay.
Listen, I've been killing him. But
that's the positive she can get.
You know, I mean, he didn't do much on the offensive end, but he did it on the defensive end. Listen, he was engaged. He was moving. His feet were moving. His hands were active. He was out there. I'm not going to kill him tonight.
He was out there.
I mean, Jeremy Grant, he was playing Jeremy Grant. He did drop 27.
Let me jump in real quick there, Patch, because I agree with Tiffany on this, is that I thought Mo Harkless would be what Jeremy Grant was tonight. Like, I thought not that he would drop 27, but I thought he would be that kind of player. So I agree with your overall difference.
What about his career has ever made you think that he would be?
Yeah, Chris, what are you talking about?
No, well, what about Jeremy Grant's career? Mo Harkless, like I told you, I watched college basketball. I got a soft spot in my heart. He went to St. John's. That year that he came into the league, he was raw coming into the league. Like, he was a dude that had a lot of, like, upside for him. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, Mo had, listen, we have talked about how many times Mo has had games 0-0-0-0 with 7 minutes, four turnovers, and eight fouls. Like, tonight he had 3 points. He made his one lone three-pointer. Two rebounds, three assists, two steals, a block, and he was second in the team in plus minus. Put up the most resistance to Jeremy Grant on the team of anybody that KZ played his 4 minutes. KZ looked bad against Jeremy Grant tonight. I really don't think we can judge KZ a lot off of those minutes tonight. But Mo played Jeremy Grant very well. And he was in there for most of the runs that got the Heat in front and gave them separation.
Well, Mo also started out at the three. So when they put him in, they put him at the three. I think being in the right position gave him a little bit more confidence where he felt he could be more active on the court. So
Mo with the triple single.
I'm still trying to figure out where and what part of Mo Harkless' career you figured he was going to come to Miami and give you
I think he's going to give you 18-10. But I thought the way that we're on here right now, I'm so shocked that y'all are lauding Jeremy Grant like this. Like, Jeremy Grant is a really glorified
role
player.
We're not lauding him. He had a good game.
Bro,
We're lauding him because we're like, oh my gosh, he did a great job against Jeremy Grant. Like,
he's a top 15 scorer in the league right now.
But he also was like the eighth man in Denver last
because
year.
Look how many people Denver had. They was just playing everybody.
That's kind of my point. Like, he looking raw against us.
Mo Harkless wouldn't be doing this in Detroit. I tell you,
you're exactly right. That's my disappointment. I thought Mo Harkless would fit into the way we play. Like, I thought he would be a backdoor cutter kind of guy, like a slasher who you could catch, and you know what I'm saying? Somebody driving, he's coming. I didn't anticipate all that. I thought he could give us a good, strong, 10, 12 points, but nah.
You ain't looking like that.
It's interesting though. Over the summer, you hear that like he turned down more offers to come here on the promise that he was going to have like a significant role in what we do. And
but he did. He started.
I don't know who lied in that transaction. Huh?
They didn't lie to him because they made him the star. He started the first four games.
Mm-hmm. I think Siobhan need to go out and come back in.
Yeah,
they gave him an opportunity to go, but you know, it's just showing that his game, I thought he had the right game for it. Because to play, like, if you look at a lot of the guys who get off for us, Kendrick Nunn is his best when he's got 3-4 dribbles at the top of the key on that pick and roll. He can go either way and pull up. Tyler Hero, pull up jump shooter. Duncan Robinson, catch and shooter. I thought that Mo Harkless would be a guy who could just slash, you know what I'm saying? Fill open spaces, catch and do something, but who is doing that, and I wish he would have done that from the first quarter, is Bam.
When Bam is at the elbow,
yeah, when he catches at the elbow, I'm like, cuz, like, you don't have to wait till the third quarter to get your little jab step, you know, jumper off. Like,
my positive for tonight, and then I'm going to go straight into Bam slander, because I hold this man in high regard. He's a max player, so he needs the praise, and he also needs the criticism. But my man came through with 28, 11, and 5 tonight, 2 steals and a block. All right, so at the end of the game, fourth quarter, hitting jumpers, hitting free throws, clutch free throws, and that's something that needs to be said for Bam. The fact that, you know, at the end of a game, last possession, your center can get a rebound, get fouled, and go down to the other side and hit 2 free throws. And you're not even worried about him. Like, my man can shoot free throws. That jumper is nice right now. But I'm starting to think he's relying on the jumper too much. And there are too many times during the game where he is passive. And I think and Jimmy Butler does this too, right? He gets passive during that points during the game, gets to the rim and passes out. And we have a few plays of some of the things that our complaints about Bam and Brass. I don't know if you have these queued up, where he's getting to the rim or getting a shoulder in front of a guy like Mason Plumlee. And instead of going all the way to the basket, getting fouled as a good free throw, he's kicking out. I don't know, Brass. All right, can't take Mason Plumlee off the dribble. It's okay. Oh, you're in the paint. Oh, look, Maharkas. Oh, noted rim defender. Mason Plumlee got to kick it back out. What the fuck are you doing?
Hand up as he enters the paint. He didn't even call for it.
No,
because he doesn't have a post game. That's he's not a post player.
That's an NBA problem, man. But
here's the difference: when you're playing the Pistons, you don't need it. Get that damn ball and go to the hole.
That's a big man problem. It's not just Bam, and that's if you watch Joel Embiid play. You see him taking jumpers no fucking reason,
but
man. Like,
he
what
has
he doing?
A back to the basket game.
But he Joel has a back to the basket.
Not very, it's not very good though. Even
but he
this
has,
isn't very good.
It doesn't matter if it's very good. If you can get somebody on your shoulder and get into the paint, they're gonna foul you. It doesn't matter.
My thing is if he has a free run, and we have another one. You have a free run to the rim. You got your shoulder past Mason Plumlee, and look what happens. Go ahead, Brass. Oh, wrong one. Go ahead.
That's the same clip. Let me pull it up. Let me just keep talking.
I think Bam is not going to be your he's a hybrid player. So you got to give him those little jump shots. They got to be around 10, 15. Like, he's got to look to take those.
That's all bigs now, man. I just feel like it's an NBA problem.
No, it is.
Change, man.
They all want to just – everybody wants to shoot.
The issue that I have with – go ahead, Siobhan.
I feel like the hybridization, though, can't just be just – it needs to be a steady dose of one aspect of the offensive repertoire and the other. It can't just be finesse and jump shots. Like – yeah, okay, so he has that mid-range, he has that pull-up, we got that, but even as a stretch four or whatever, you need like a face-up. You don't have to have a back-to-the-basket. Face up and attack these dudes. He is quick off the first step. He's twitchy. There's no reason for him to be just gifted so much space. They are disrespecting the fuck out of him every single time he steps on the floor, and it's embarrassing and it's nauseating to watch.
He's getting that early Giannis treatment. He's getting that early. They like, let me see what you.
But he killing him with that jumper. But my thing is, let that jumper set up some drives to the rim for you. You are faster and in some cases stronger than these big slow motherfuckers that are guarding you.
But let's think about more agile than these big bitches.
But the big man, the big man doesn't play like the big man used to play. Like, the Shaq game is over. Like,
but we're not asking for the Shaq game. I'm asking Bam for the Jimmy game.
But here's what. But we forget about Bam sometimes. Bam, when he was at Kentucky, he was a role player. He came last year. He was a super glorified best case scenario role player. What we're talking about is a mentality. When I texted you during the game, this is one of those games. Yeah. There's a lot of COVID games where if you a guy like what Jeremy Grant is doing, if I'm on a team, people are sick, stuff is happening, nigga, I'm getting off.
Like, you talking about Jeremy Grant, the COVID all-star right now.
That's what I'm saying. Like, but that's what I'm saying.
That's our boy Warren. Precious, man. That's Precious.
TJ, I mean, Warren.
You supposed to get off, dog. That's why Tyler Hero is like leading everything for us. When the roster is depleted, why not? You're getting millions of dollars. You're on TV. It's Martin Luther King Day. Come through and wreck, my nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, but Bam is in his mind. That didn't come even into his mindset until
the second half of the game. So he needs to have the Starberry mentality.
Yeah. But isn't that what I find that funny sometimes. Like, we laud dudes who are like that, like Kobe and them and Dame Lillard, like these killer dudes. But then – every now and then, you got to be able, like what Siobhan was saying about, if you got like, you got to have a balanced skill set. You also got to be able to be like, hey, look, like I'm gonna be the man tonight, cuz like if you've ever been on any team where you looked around and you're like, oh snap, I might low key be the best person here. Like,
I've never had that problem. Not even on podcast. Hey, so
I could just imagine you in like middle school with that game, and you look around. You was like, "Oh shit, I'm the best nigga out here."
Middle school,
and then you know everything.
Summer league. Remember?
Okay, we do have.
It's over, nigga. It's over.
We do have we have the clip of Bam when he got the shoulder pass Plumlee, and these are the plays where I want to see Bam just go ahead and take advantage of his athleticism.
We've been talking.
Is this the?
Oh, look, Bam's got a layup. What the fuck are you doing?
Didn't even look at the basket.
He didn't even look at it.
We should start doing commentary during the game. That was great.
If you catch the ball that low and you give it to the game, kick it out. You got to go to the basket.
But let you always see that extra passion now, man, because they're always looking for the higher percentage.
That's what I was about to say. Let me play devil's advocate right
there. Three is not the higher percentage if you at the basket already.
I understand that. Right? They're always making the extra pass.
But on that particular play, Bam gets by him. He's in a kind of awkward position. That was going to have to be a super finesse layup.
Not if he was looking at the basket. Not if he was looking
at the basket. Exactly.
Siobhan, you said
he's moving too fast.
Drifting towards the three-point line before.
When he caught it, he knew he was going to pass it. He was already ready to pass it when he caught it. He never thought.
So he was moving too slow or too fast.
This is Siobhan's clip. Mm-hmm. Like argue this one. Argue what? Like argue this shit. Why didn't he take it to the hole in the bonus at this point? Let's go. Or they weren't in the bonus. Never mind.
Now you
drip drop, by the way, from Moose is here. Drip drop.
Oh, yeah, I remember this play.
It breaks down and then eventually reforms itself.
And he's still
and
they not still looking
have
to go.
A chance, nope. and he's still not looking to get to the basket, man. What's up? And now we got 3 seconds and it's this like gorgeous finesse, graceful ass jump shot. But why did it have to be all of that?
Mm-hmm. It really didn't. And my thing is, something like Frankie was arguing with me. I want to show that clip again because Frankie was arguing with me that Plumlee isn't the only guy in front of him. Yes, there are other Pistons guys and Piston players in front of him. There's only one guy with a chance to stop Bam.
Right.
There's
only one. When he got to half court, he was supposed to accelerate.
And if what happens is the rest of the Pistons collapse,
right,
stop
here is
him,
where he really got to get it right.
Yeah,
there.
This is I don't know what the fuck's happening right here.
And then even as Kelly drifts out to the left, Bam still has that like straight line dive down the middle.
What is that?
Exactly.
That was a mess. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's when you need a point guard.
You beat the Pistons with that trash.
But what you guys are saying about Bam, though, it's just the mentality has changed. Everybody's looking for – he's looking for the shooter at that point. He's looking for the three-point shooter.
He's also playing what I think is his ultimate role in his team. Like, he looks at himself as the hub, the fulcrum, you know what I'm saying? Like, he don't look at himself as the go-to guy. He's like, my job is to be here so y'all can cut off me.
He's still looking for the
like
open
a go-to guy.
Shot. Yeah, for sure.
He's still being paid like the go-to guy.
Here's my thing. Even if you want to set up your teammates, The way you set up your teammates there is take one to two more dribbles, let the defense collapse, and then Kelly had. But you bailed out because Blake Griffin took one half-hearted step towards you. You passed it? First of all, E. Reed been killing Blake Griffin all game. Told you this nigga got no knees. He told you.
Everyone's been trying to tell you
Blake Griffin's washed. Blake Griffin takes a step towards Bam Adebayo, and that the threat of that athleticism has him passing it off to Kelly Olynyk on the break.
It's not even that athleticism. Part of it is he's not comfortable with his full game yet. Like, he ain't really there yet. Well, he can catch it.
I mean, he should be. I think that's a cop out because he should be a little bit more comfortable than that. Like, Alf is right. He should have gone. Alf and Tiff, all of you, everybody said the same thing. We all correct. He should have taken that further.
But we've seen it, Parrish. When he doesn't, it's effective.
Even in the pass out to Kelly, Kelly still finds a way to create what ends up being like a 3-on-1 situation, like a really bad weave, and he still does not take that straight line dive to the basket. Like, there are a lot of those types of stuff, like just the same types of instances that just keep happening.
It's sloppy.
The Heat have been playing sloppy for what, the past eight, nine games. I mean, it's been a minute since I've seen a really clean game.
The whole season.
Did they have 27 turnovers the game before last or two games ago?
They've had 20 turnovers in a bunch of games.
This happens in Heat seasons. The Heat go through this in their seasons, and Eric Spoelstra has this happen to his teams.
Say Spoelstra one more time. Stop. No, say it the way you
But this is a Spoelstra. You know what I'm
Nick
saying?
Nick got a whole degree staying Spoelstra. I'm a college dropout.
Spumoni.
I have to always say in my mind, people call him Spo, Coach Spo. I'm like, Coach Spo.
Not Spole. There's a play that Brass does have when we can move on from Bam that does show why Bam is still a max player. You got that, Brass? Once again, you got him guarding a perimeter player. Sent that shit the fuck back.
That's that D.
Kept it in bounds like Ewick, like Tony used to say. Keep it in bounds, Ewick. But, I mean, that's the reason Bam is a max player is, yes, he has the offense. He has some offensive skill set. There's a lot of things that he can grow into. But at the end of the day, your center can go out on Jeremy Grant, guard him on the perimeter, and lock his ass the fuck up like he did Jason Tatum in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I really want people to understand that I'm not saying Bam doesn't deserve his contract, but what I will do is, like we say on Lysian Opinions, yeah, we voted for Biden, but we gonna hold his feet to the fire now that he's in office.
But see, honestly, like, we're getting on Bam, but I think it needs to be more on the coach in this situation. Like, that coach, that's Spo, man. He's got to get in his ear and be like, hey, I need you to do this. I need you to go. Because we're assholes on the couch talking, coaching from the sidelines. Like, where's Spo? Where's Spo at?
I think that's already happened. I think it happened last year. I think it's happening now. But he's got to put it together. It happens when you want it to happen. Nobody can make it.
I want to give.
That happened in that contract meeting. There's no way the contract was discussed without the implication that, all right, like, you have our full back end. Like, have to Bam put it all together. There's no Bam way he doesn't know that he has that.
Bam is a boxer who knocks people out with body shots. Like, if you, like, he's not a, you know, you got your boxers who come out, they head hunting, they clean people or whatever. Like, the block on Tatum, the clip that you just showed, he's going to be that kind of star. He ain't going to come out and just, you know what I'm saying? He's going to wow you with these little things. And he gets the money because, at least in that one instance, he proved that those little things can win you a ball game and win you a playoff series by extension. You feel me? So I don't want to rag on Bam about that either, but I look at the basketball game. I'm looking for player development. That's one of the things I like to watch with it. And I see him developing. He is. All these clips that we pointed out are just these little instances where it's not natural yet. Like that clip that Siobhan showed, he's thinking about it, and that's why he's not moving to it. He's not even noticing that Plumlee isn't playing up on him because he's so in the, all right, let me move to next read, next read. He's not yet on the full instinct on the offensive end.
What? Okay, so like this is what I think a responsible fan, and if you want to call us analysts, whatever, I don't give a fuck. Irresponsibly, what you do is, yes, you laud the guys for the positives, but you still call out the negatives. We're not calling them trash.
Right.
Like E. Reed was calling Blake Griffin trash all really night. Was. And that's my next thing I want to go around the horn with. But before we do that, y'all start sending questions. We're going to start taking questions for the last 10 minutes. Remember, follow Light Skin Opinions on Twitter. Subscribe to the YouTube page. That's me, Kristen Parrish. We had Siobhan on LSO Sports the other day. We're gonna have Tiff on. We break down pop culture, politics, music, culture, everything. It's not safe for work. Don't let your kids listen to it. But we have a good time with that show. If you enjoy this, you'll enjoy Light Skin Opinions.
I started posting it on YouTube, and there's a section where we post, is this for children? And I have to check. No.
Yes.
So
yes.
We're not for kids. So
yeah, it's not for kids. There's a lot of N bombs, F bombs, a lot of bombs on that show. But yeah.
Speaking of bombs, you were Blake Griffin, you were saying?
Okay, so we're going to go around wrong answers only. What did Blake Griffin do to Eric Reed that guy that has him so upset? Started with Parrish.
Can I go first? Fucked his daughter. He had to fuck his daughter because.
Dang,
Jesus
Christ.
This is why you go
night, bro.
All night roasting
him.
Bro, we've had episodes of Light Skin Opinions where we ain't roast each other like he roasted this nigga. He was like, he straight up was like, this nigga's trash. No offense, but this nigga's garbage at basketball now.
He pulled up a diagram. Like, yeah, his best season was his first season, but it's been a downhill road ever since. I'm like, God damn.
He been doing it since Saturday. Yeah. Every time that nigga touched the ball, this nigga used to be good, but he's straight up garbage now. Like, every time.
I'm going to give you a real world Eric Reed conspiracy theory. You know how Eric Reed and them be down here doing all these, like.
Drip dropped on his daughter.
That's disgusting, and this is why tune into Light Skin Opinions.
Eric Reed is always throwing these little galas and stuff down here, you know, like you watch the Sun Sports broadcast in the halftime show, it's always him doing something. I feel like he booked, you know, Blake Griffin was supposed to donate some money or something like that. He never shows up, and I can see Eric Reed on the phone. Blake, where are you?
He probably Blake Griffin one of the bubble-ass sneakers he'd be wearing. Not even signed. Just a pair of size 18 bubble. Appears not 18 British Knight.
He sent Eric Reed over like a used Kia Sportage. He's like, here, auction this off.
Siobhan, you
like
got
it
one?
Was almost it was almost wasn't professional anymore.
It was no, it was like, unprofessional.
It was borderline almost unprofessional.
No, it wasn't. He said that man was old as hell, and then says he's the oldest 31-year-old I've ever seen.
And then he said no disrespect.
Yes.
So that's when you knew it was disrespect.
And then he brought up Derrick Rose. He was like, Derrick Rose has had injury struggles too, but look at him tonight.
Yeah, like, yeah. Move.
He's had more fouls than points tonight. I'm like, Jesus.
He's like, this broke down ass nigga can't do shit.
Jesus.
I'm telling you, Blake Griffin owe that man something. He hit him with the Coming to America. You know that scene where Eric LaSalle throws the milkshake at Eddie Murphy? Like, take care of this.
he thought Eric Reed was a towel boy one time.
He's like, here you go, Eric. Like,
Eric Reed came out to him like, I'd like to get some comments before the game. And he was like, take my shirt down, man. Go wash these drawers.
By the way, that is
my Gatorade cup, man.
That is one of the most disrespectful scenes in all movies, and I love it. Because the milkshake that he throws at Eddie Murphy, like, that cup is already, like, soggy. Like, it's like the worst cup ever because it burst on impact. Like, imagine if somebody threw a milkshake at you.
They're smiling.
Oh man,
Blake Griffin threw a milkshake at that man.
I need to take some questions.
Okay, Siobhan, you get the first question because we didn't even get to the we didn't even get to your wrong answer only. If he lost today, how many of y'all will be hitting the panic button? Fine. Would you be hitting the panic button, Siobhan?
I mean, I don't know if I'm calling it panic because I've been saying the same things. Like, if they would have lost today, it would have been just a further highlighting of all of the things that I feel like I felt about them for a little while now. Too much panic ensued in me. I would have just been like, yeah, no, this is what we are. This is what we look like. So we should have lost. Like, we shouldn't have to play them that close, even with Jimmy and Tyler out.
I think with a win, we're hitting the panic button, Chris.
Panic button?
I'm not hitting the panic button.
Y'all ain't been.
Yeah, I'm not hitting the panic button. Like, this team, the team that played tonight is our G League All Star team. You know what I'm saying? Like, some of these dudes would never see the court if you had our proper team. You feel me? Like,
no, KZ in the court.
I mean, like, the thing, honestly,
we only missing Jimmy.
I was gonna say we weren't that far off from our full strength team. We overachieved last year. I know. I'm gonna get in trouble talking like this on the show, but we overachieved a little bit last year. Like, so
well, we know that.
We did.
My expectations are not the same. Like, my expectations for this team are different, especially because honestly, I don't feel like we're as good as we were last year. We lost Jay Crowder, which was
Ball. Only because our last memory of last year is what happened in the bubble. The team that we're looking at right now, we had the same situation going on during the actual season, trying to figure out who was playing, trying to figure out the same situation we're in now.
Kendrick Nunn was our year,
but Kendrick Nunn was our best player for like the first 3 months of the season.
Last year, like regular season, they were one of the top 2-3 offenses in the league.
Tyler,
and regardless of that,
there still was a sense of like incompleteness.
Everyone else they get, but we're not losing to those better teams.
That's not true.
Listen, let me say this. Like, people excited about this win tonight think that Biden being president is going to change anything. Like, there's systematic change that, like, it's shit has got to happen. It's got to happen. But whatever.
But that's what I'm saying. Don't forget what happened last time was they took all of these disparate dudes, put them in one place, and they all gelled and they all bonded. Then
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We was happy. The season was over with. Everybody went their separate ways. And now as they come back, it's not quite like the same. You feel me? Like there's going to have to – the team is decent enough as it is to compete. But like Siobhan said, when you're playing the Nets, I mean, come on. I have no fear of the Milwaukee Bucks whatsoever. I have no fear of really anyone else except the Nets. And
you're
it's going to take
Milwaukee. Milwaukee got better.
A little bit.
I don't think they did.
And we got worse. Like, by small increments.
But even if it's just the increments, I still feel as if we got the book on Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like, we got the book on him.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball player strikes out when the bases are loaded. The best golfer sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you for free with two-day shipping. And the whole process is discreet and straightforward. Getting started is simple. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete the online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 to get $15 off your first month. Look, that's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Get to roman.com/heatbeat21. Go get started to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
Tiff, go ahead. Go ahead.
All of this is predicated on Jimmy's Tom Thibodeau knees. That's what all of this is predicated on.
That is true.
It's too much.
We're not acting like Jimmy ain't walking like Uncle Festa after games.
We put Jimmy gave us everything he had last season. Jimmy, and I love Jimmy Butler, but I expect him to be on a downward decline for the rest of his career at this point. So we like.
I wonder if sometimes some of this COVID stuff, like you can, is just kind of a way to let somebody get a little rest. You know what I mean? Like, you know.
Oh, look at you with a conspiracy theory.
You know, we contact trace you. Because we contact trace you, just sit down for 3 weeks.
We can't afford rest.
2 weeks. You know, I feel you.
Well, that, and this has been my argument all season long, right?
What's our record?
We're 4-6, 4-something. That's 5-7.
Really, the panic. It's 10 games into
It's not about panicking. It's about realizing that there's issues with this team that I've been saying going into the season. Is that with a shortened offseason, you're relying too much on a guy like Jimmy Butler, who is oft injured, right? Mm-hmm. Now, to beat the Pistons, because there's a couple injuries, you have to start Goran Dragic and play him 30-plus minutes. Like, the Heat need another guy who can go and get you some buckets.
Let me count that.
Tyler Hero's still learning.
He is, but if you remember, at the beginning of last season, these were all the same problems. Kendrick Nunn was our best player. Everybody thought he was the world's best rookie. He was leading. He was the highest scoring rookie for the first 3 months of the season. Yay or nay? Yay. Tyler Hero gets a lot of play time. Why? Because we didn't have anybody else. So when you say we need another guy, we don't always need another guy.
We had Jimmy sometimes and Roger at the beginning of last season.
Bro, but they was not
popping. They were our best players.
These people on here other than Parrish. Kendrick Nunn was averaging 25-plus for the first 3 months of the season yesterday.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't 25-plus.
He was
18.
Nunn came out of nowhere. Oh, my God. That was unexpected. Plus. You can't count on that.
But that is my point,
and
though.
Nunn is falling
y'all
off.
Talk about, but he's a player who we acquired, who we developed.
No. Okay, so
sometimes when y'all hit me with this, we need another guy. Sometimes you just need to let the game play out.
Everyone needs to understand that Christopher Maddox believes that you should grow your own players.
San Antonio. You really should be a San Antonio fan.
He's a nigga in Brooklyn trying to grow a tomato garden to feed his family. He's homegrown. You do not shop around. He was against
because
the
market trade. Me and you have had this argument before with the Heat.
Anybody
because
that
then what
drafted,
you end up doing, you end
be
up
on
chasing
for life.
Any player that becomes available, you end up chasing. Anybody who you could get a small whiff of, you end up chasing around. Look how we following around behind the center Bradley Beal. As if anybody's got any – look how we chased around behind James Harden. Meanwhile, the players who are on our team, we acting like these people don't exist. And the ones who we love, Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero, these guys came up out the mud with us. Tyler Hero, of course, we drafted, but coming out of Kentucky, he wasn't supposed to be. Nobody thought he was going to be the guy who he is now, who's literally the linchpin of our fucking team. Y'all be rushing too much with the let's get another guy. Yeah, sometimes getting another guy don't always work.
I wouldn't
guarantee.
Call him the linchpin of our team. I would say.
Oh my gosh. Y'all are such clowns. Is he not leading the team in scoring, minutes, assists, and all that stuff?
Yeah, because he's the only one been healthy all year.
He's not Therefore, our Tim Duncan, bro. I need you to get over this. He's not our
Do y'all
Tim
not know what the term linchpin means? It means whether it's anybody else.
I don't want to use the term lynch at all on a day like
today. Honestly, he's not even to us what Ja Morant is to Memphis. He's just not at all.
But I like a terrible equivalency. Like, he doesn't have to be that.
Well, here,
didn't they get drafted the same year?
But Ja Morant was like the number two player.
It doesn't matter. That's a back comparison.
And I'm just saying
that's what Chris wants him to be, though. He wants us to treat Tyler Hero like he's Ja Morant, and he's just not. Like, we're not trading Ja Morant under any circumstances. Under any circumstances, we should never trade Ja Morant. Tyler Hero is tradable, and I love him, but he's tradable.
I don't even love him.
He's a guy averaging 26.
I don't even love him.
Whether he's tradable or not.
Tiff, I want on this team, who's untradable? In your opinion,
who's untradeable? Bam and Jimmy. That's it.
Exactly.
Because people would come there to play with Bam and Jimmy. Ain't nobody calling talking about, I want to line up next to Duncan.
Exactly.
No.
Exactly. The rest of them guys are tradable, bro. We like them. They do what you do. Be good for us. But if we can get somebody better, you got to go.
Y'all tell me who's lined up to come. Who? Giannis re-upped. Who else?
Well, we're not saying.
Like,
you're confusing fantasy trades with actual transactions. Like, it don't matter how much you act like we hurting these niggas'
feelings by coming up with shit in trade machines. No, we ain't talking about that. My question was, who? Y'all was talking about we need somebody else. I'm saying, tell me who.
I think we should try to get Victor Oladipo. Like Rockets, I think Rockets are going to try to move Victor Oladipo.
They are going to move him because he's not staying.
Victor Oladipo is a lateral move.
Chris out here calling Victor Oladipo a lateral move.
What did I say? Martin Luther just rolled over.
let's put it in context like this. How much more extra wins is Victor Oladipo going to get you on this team?
Over who?
Who are we trading to get him? I'm not saying we have to trade Tyler. I mean, we might have to, but we don't have to trade Tyler.
My point is whether you keep Tyler Hero or whatever, you add Victor Oladipo to the team you got right now, how many more wins you getting with this
how
team?
Many wins
Victor Oladipo would be our second most consistent scorer.
Great, fantastic. I'm asking you how many wins. Fantastic.
He actually plays defense. He plays defense. He'd be the only guard on our team that could play a lick of defense outside of Avery Bradley.
And I'm asking you again, how many wins that translate to, my G?
I don't know what that translates to as far as wins, but you cannot. There's no way that you believe that any move that would be made to acquire Vic will be a lateral move. So even if that is what you do, okay, so then you don't. So then you package for PJ. You get Vic and you get PJ, and you get the most potent of possible salves at both of your issues right now. You get a dynamic guard who's going to give you buckets that will also give you tenacity and energy and effort defensively. And you get a big stocky motherfucker who's going to sit in the corner and be consistent with the three and can guard up. He gives you what Jay gave you and more. And then you bring that with Vic. That takes there's no way possible that even just Vic by himself is not a lateral move. And at that point, and it is still 10 games in, but like the issues that are the issues, and something needs to be done. And I think that the Vic plus PJ is the move. You asked Tiff who her untradeables were. My untradeables are Jimmy, Bam, and for right now, one of KZ or Precious. One of the two of them is going to give you something else in length and size with the potential to fill out even more. We've seen KZ, even in Spurs, against the Pistons, give you something a little more offensively. And we've seen what his defensive numbers look like.
If they got to go, then they can go too.
Let me ask y'all something quick. This is a quick one. Does Precious make sense in the starting lineup next to Bam?
Is Bam shooting the threes?
No, he's not.
Then no.
I'm concerned they can't play that. to have, and okay, I'm talking about until Jimmy gets back.
Oh, okay.
Because they have, if you can't start Kelly, Duncan, and Tyler together, like right. it's, or you can't, or Gabe Vincent, or Kendrick Nunn, or Goran Dragic, like it, there's too many, it's like three bad defenders, and you got Bam out there, like, what the fuck, my nigga, like, I can't do it all my damns. That's why, and I think that's part of the reason why Bam looks bad offensively, because the defensive toll is too heavy on his shoulders sometimes. Like, does it make sense to have Precious out there? Why Maybe not? They can get a rebound.
I mean, you could definitely argue it depending on matchups, like who they're playing. Like, if you just wanted to go super athletic, scrappy, you know what I'm saying, running, flying around, you could. You could make it happen. The offensive end, like Tiffy's saying, is where you're going to have a bit of a log jam, you know what I'm saying?
Them niggas occupy the same space.
The exact same space.
Forget what I said. That's a terrible fucking idea.
I don't know, but I think if you're going to have one of them offensively, if you can have Bam stay down low, I think Bam needs to develop. He really needs to develop some post.
There's going to be two guys on Bam, because who's going to go out to guard Precious? They're going to treat his ass like Ben Simmons.
But I guess who else is starting right now? Who else is starting right now with
Kelly? And you got to guard Kelly on the perimeter.
Because I think we need to open it up. Just have shooters out there, man. Have Bam. Have Duncan. Have Olenek and Dragic. No. Have them three out there.
And you can't have Kelly.
And that's an Olay right to the rim. That's an Olay to the rim.
That's true. I'm just trying to think. I was thinking offensively.
It was a dumb question by me.
We're giving up 300 points of COVID.
That's true. that's your starting lineup.
I'm taking the L on that one.
I'm trying to answer your question.
I don't know why. You guys should all just told me I was fucking stupid for even suggesting such a thing.
How much more juice we got left? Because I'm out of juice.
Go ahead and we got about 5 minutes if you want to make a refill.
I mean, I can get that in.
Schmeath and Schmolnick ask, who is y'all want this team to trade for Kevin Porter Jr. or not?
Crazy buddy? Nah.
Meathan be in the group chat. It's Meathan Alex.
Meathan gotta be in the group chat because they've been talking about that shit all day.
I didn't know he was listen, I didn't know who the kid was, and I didn't know he was wilding out like that.
Yeah, he's a high drafted dude. He's supposed to have a lot of great potential and one of them tweener guys, but I don't know, man. You getting kicked off teams, you crashing cars, you flipping whips. Like, I don't know, son.
You throwing cans of soup.
You know, back in the day in the 90s, they would have sent him to Houston to work with John Lucas. You know what I mean? John Lucas would tell him about his years of being on drugs, and that would change his life. But nowadays, I don't know who fills that role now.
You sent him to Udonis Haslam.
Oh. Well, yeah,
but then still got Deion Waiters taking gummies on plays. The new generation hit different. You know what I'm saying? I done been in clubs where Udonis has them, so it's hard for me to take advice. I'd be like, I seen you, nigga. I know what you out here doing. Anyway,
you see this question in here. KZ looks good when he plays. Why doesn't Spo? You know he does. Do y'all think we putting too much into KZ Apollo, like, because we've been so anxious to see him play? I feel you.
That's our hope.
You know me, I'm all about developing the young people, but I'm also
that's our hope bucket.
I also don't want to put too much on him that he can't, that he can't bear.
Man, at some point, this is your job. Show the fuck up.
No, that's true.
I'm sorry. At some point, like tonight, he had foul trouble. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You sound like you're giving that advice to Kyrie Irving.
Well, go to work.
Straight up.
Harrison went and refilled the drink.
I didn't. You gave me the green light, bro.
We just had Twisted Tapioca give 5 tier 1 subs.
Oh, shit.
You're not done yet tonight.
You ain't going to get us fucked up tonight.
Alf, give that shout out.
Shout out, Twisted Tapioca. Go ahead. Tiffy gonna take a drink. I'm done over here.
That's why I refilled. What are we doing? We missed it. See.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Paris.
I'm gonna make.
Paris refilled with a full glass.
I'm gonna make another drink. Chris, you're hosting the show.
Y'all don't want me hosting the show.
You got it. You got the wheels.
You got the wheels, bro.
So we haven't talked about it all about the Martin Luther King aspect of the day. And I kind of thought we were going to try to slide that in there a little bit. One thing I liked about the Heat broadcast, and it kind of made me upset a little bit, upset for, you know, the country and stuff. Did y'all see Alonzo Mourning talking about the whole struggle of turning it, of making it? And I've heard that story. And I know that John McCain opposed it. I know that a lot of really prominent politicians fought it on the grounds that it would be bad for business. But I appreciate the Miami Heat. I'm like, for them telling that story on a national, on a broadcast day, you know, such as this. And it made me feel like maybe they got some decent people in that Fox Sports, whoever arranged all of that. But I think that's low-key. Every time I hear that story, that's fucked up, that you wouldn't want to give Martin Luther King like a holiday. They're like, you know what I mean? Like,
McCain fought that for as long as he could.
As long, yeah. People forget, I mean, that, you know what I'm saying?
He was old as shit, past 31.
Past. And
I mean, there's still cities out there that fight giving Martin Luther King a street. Like, I remember
that's what Mourning said that in the thing. He was like, South Carolina was the last state, and I'm like, South Carolina, like, really? And then Alabama and Mississippi on the same day. You know, they celebrate like the Confederate generals and whatnot. And I'm just like, my goodness, you know. And so, but I appreciated the Heat for putting that in their broadcast, because I think it's real easy just to be like, here's another little, you know, vignette of who Martin Luther King was and blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? And gloss over a lot of the other things that, much like Muhammad Ali, this man wasn't fully accepted until it became okay decades and decades later.
86, I didn't know that. 1986 was the first year that it became. That was 2 years after I was born, which was crazy. like, damn, that's when it became a holiday, an official holiday.
Welcome to being Black in America, where you walk around and any given day you can learn something that have you be like, oh, wow, damn, that shit just happened.
It's not in your textbook.
When I was born,
like,
that shit, I did not know that shit.
But, Alf, I don't know if you heard us while you were off and getting re-inebriated, but we were talking about actually trying to talk about MLK on the MLK Day slate of games. And talking about Alonzo Mourning's little thing where he, you know, talked about how the holiday was put together. I think the NBA is one of the closest that you can get to where it's not the I Have a Dream speech, but a closest you can get to like a meritocracy, to where like we actually get to participate fully. And I feel like they have to do it because of capitalism, because we're going to watch these games. We're going to buy these shoes. You know, Black culture is basketball culture, basically. But I always enjoy the MLK Day games because of that. Anybody else can join in and say what y'all want to say.
Wait, what happened? What did you turn my show into?
Nigga, this is Hangover Time. That jersey is so fresh, but I keep seeing this kid. Is he a real basketball player?
Yes.
Kevin Herder. He plays for the Hawks.
Oh, I thought it was like a joke the first four times I saw it. I was like, what? Oh, P, you knew that kid was a real basketball player. P, you ain't know that nigga.
Well, maybe that's the first time I've seen a picture all day, so I'm not even playing.
No, the Atlanta Hawks put that picture out as like, we got 3 days to MLK Day, like to celebrate, like, you know, Martin Luther King Day, and it was like everyone's like,
they put the whitest boy on their team.
No, not the whitest boy on their team. No, the whitest person in the history of Earth. I know, like, Siobhan, I know what they were doing. We got three days left.
They could have skipped three. We could have just started keeping count at two or whoever.
Like, why couldn't Trey Young do this?
They literally sent a jersey to the Pope.
They did. Like,
no joke.
I saw the bit.
And he blessed it and everything.
An MLK jersey?
Yeah. Super performative.
It has Francis on the back and number one, and he like went and blessed it and did. I'm not going to do that. I don't know what they do with their hands, but he did whatever they do. And like, yeah, they sent him a whole.
I cannot ever see him wear that.
Hey, this is some wild shit. Like, is that what you aspire to be when you become a Catholic priest? Is that like what you aspire to be, the Pope?
Well, he had a summit, right? He hosted like five of them over the summer to come talk about social injustice and how
Hawks
he and the Vatican. No, five.
Yeah,
because like, in the league.
players. So he's like, this course is coming.
Five players. Did you say five niggas in the league?
No. Like five players. Who was the dude from Minnesota who like got actually like who was arrested and like had?
Oh yeah.
It was a group of them that went and talked to Pope Francis about.
I bet Gordon Hayward tried to get on that trip.
And the Pope said,
I appreciate all of that little stuff, though. You know what I'm saying? Especially because we were talking about it. You know, do all of that. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's performative, whether it means anything or not.
Right.
Do all of that. You feel me? Like, keep this man name ringing in culture as long as possible. And, you know, so bless whatever jerseys you need to bless. You know, get the buddy from Hoosiers to come and take a picture with the MLK shirt. Do all of that. You know what I mean? I'm here for all of it.
Y'all know how I feel about the co-opting of Martin Luther King and what this damn holiday is meant to pacify Negroes, but we won't go into that tonight.
This is for light-skinned opinions, but I just want to I feel like Martin Luther King Day was a bigger deal when I was younger, and it could be because I was from a smaller town with
definitely was. It was here too, and maybe it's just because of the kind of parents you. Because I was always at MLK Day parades. My mom did that heavy.
It's COVID, and you was a jit. Like you had a color in a picture of Martin Luther King. Like, what are you doing now? Is you 40? You know what I mean? Like, what are you doing now? Like, it's Martin Luther King Day. My girl got a day off and we went to quarter deck. Like, you know what I'm saying? we didn't do nothing super black or nothing.
You ain't gotta do nothing super black, but y'all also don't have no little young people under y'all charge.
If I had jits today, believe me, we wouldn't talk about none of the shit, none of the MLK quotes that go on TV. I'm like, here's his quote about socialism, son. Read that, you know.
Because, but that's what's been good about today on the social media front. It's just there's been a lot of sharing of the
all the color, the pictures that are in color. Like, nigga, this shit wasn't that long ago.
It wasn't that long ago. Yeah,
every color or in color picture of Martin, I'm boosting.
Yeah, I saw that. Like, I saw somebody else say that, and I was like, absolutely. Let me share.
For all the really great stuff on social, there's also like this.
Yeah, fuck ice.
Jeez. Get them out of here.
I saw the same thing with Kaylee McEnany and all these folks. Yeah. But when they have the MLK Day slate of games, I don't know if I should appreciate it as much as I do, but I do. Like, I don't know if I should be like, oh, this is just some old flim-flam, you know what I'm saying? A marketing quote. Or should I actually, like, you know what I'm saying? Because I do feel like
you sounded so old.
I think that was a good one. Flim flam
and hogwash.
What's interesting sometimes on the MLK Day on the broadcast is like the cities that they'll have playing against each other. Yes, like they'll have like Memphis against Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, those are pretty, you know, culturally significant ass cities. Like, okay, I see what you did there. That was cool.
Absolutely.
Like, don't do Boston versus Atlanta. Like, hey,
please,
Boston, please, y'all sit down tonight. Utah should never play on MLK game.
It'd be like Boston versus DC.
Yeah, but as long as Utah say the fuck off my TV that day.
Boston versus Utah.
Oh, wow, that looks so nasty.
It looked like the Rioters versus the National.
I mean, we didn't talk about that, but I mean, the game was supposed to start at, 2:30 originally, and they shut it, pushed it back to 8.
It was supposed to start at 3.
Mm-hmm. That was a 3. COVID. Yeah, it was a COVID situation.
Everything's a COVID situation.
They couldn't get enough. You know what? Let's end the last 5 minutes, because we haven't really talked about this much on Light Skin Opinions. How do y'all feel about the NBA even going forward this season? We had a week last week where the Heat were playing with a bunch of G League guys, Tyler Hero. They had an assistant coach suit up, and they lost two games.
They called me, but I was out of town.
Yeah, Siobhan was about to go out there, drop 30.
And I bet you if they did, Siobhan would be like, I'm shooting this thing. I'm jacking it. Out of here.
Chris Quinn got 3 minutes in overtime.
Before we get to the South, because I don't know if we're going to end on this, we got to talk about a lot of these gifting of tier one subs. Vane Hype donated one. I Can Be Your Hero gifted one. We got Brian M gifting 5 tier one subs. Vane Hype did another one. Sorry if I'm being too vague here. And then best thing he's done in a while. G Novice gifted a tier one sub. So
thanks, G Novice.
But props to G for finally doing something.
These are subscriptions. Thank you for asking, P, because I had no idea.
These are subscriptions to Twitch. These are why. These are how we
subscriptions to other people.
Yeah, and these are this is how we get paid. So we have to. We want subscriptions. So
it's like sharing your sick leave. That's cool.
Do I have subscriptions to give away? Like, am I sitting over here subscription rich? I could just
you have to pay for it.
Niggas off with subscription.
Well, if you got everybody who doesn't know, if you have Amazon Prime, you get a free Twitch subscription. So check out Nightbot. It tells you in the chat how to do it. You go through gaming.prime.amazon. I did it. If I could figure out my old ass, everybody can figure it out. You get a free subscription. Subscribe to Miami Heat Beat on Twitch. You're helping us get paid and support the channel, and you're helping us give you great content like this. An hour after a shitty game against the Pistons, we still going strong with, let's see how many viewers. I'm still with 130 viewers.
132. We had like 187 at one
point. Oh, yeah. We was doing it big. Then I walked away, and Chris started talking about the cultural impact of Martin Luther King on basketball.
That's what I do, bro. That's exactly what I do.
All those people that left were racist. Damn
straight. Numbers
shoot back up.
And G-Nava says... G Dava says he's commissioning emotes this week. So I don't know if anyone understands what that means. Apparently, emotes are a huge thing on Twitch. Like, if you are a subscriber, you get special emotes. Like, he's going to make one of me doing this. And you can only get it if you're a subscriber. That's a huge thing on Twitch. The young people love it, Chris. They do.
It's provocative.
We don't know what it is.
It's provocative.
Tim says he doesn't know what it means, but it gets the people going. Oh,
it gets the people going.
Free advertising. You get good emotes. People want to sub. Listen, y'all sub, subscribe, because we're going to be doing LSO Sports basically this show once a week outside of Hangover Time.
I don't know if Moose is still out here, but Drip Drop.
Drip Drop. Who can do a good Moose impression? Drip Drop. You guys keep subscribing. Tiffany will be in a Mohawkless jersey.
Hey.
That shit is going to happen. The day once he scores 10 points, we're getting her a Mohawkless jersey.
That's what it was.
That nigga has to even... He has not sniffed 10 points.
He couldn't spell it.
No, he couldn't spell it. He's nowhere near 10 points, is he?
Man, this was his highest score.
And this, I don't understand. This nigga Chris is like, I thought Mo Harkless was going to be. Mo Harkless, nigga. We picked up Mo Harkless?
Bro, I thought he was going to get us a high dub. Y'all ain't seen his good years in Portland? His good years in Portland?
No.
He was good for a strong 12.
He had one good year in Portland. No.
He had at least 2-3 good years in Portland, bro. He got a little something to him. Thoughts
you, and ain't nobody love an average basketball player more than Christopher Mattis, bro.
Y'all the ones out here screaming about go find a guy. That's what happens when you go find a guy. You know what I'm saying?
Maddox on Harkless was the next Scottie Pippen for speech.
When he came out of college, I did though. Yeah.
You love an average basketball player.
He was not average when he was not average when he was drafted, because he was very, very he was decent.
How far removed are we from that? What year is this?
Yeah, when did he graduate?
I mean, that's about a strong 10 years ago, 10, 12 years ago.
No, is it even that long? I don't even think it's that long, man.
It's that long, bro. It's that long.
Shame on him. That's even worse.
He's shooting. Wait. He's averaging half a point a game.
That's a half a point more than me.
7%.
That's a half a point more than me.
Yes. Yeah.
Barely.
Yeah.
He's shooting 16.7% from the field.
That was his one shot today.
His for the season, he has 3 points.
Mo.
Two turnovers.
The 3 points were today, no?
Yes. Seven fouls. One assist, five rebounds. I'll give him the five rebounds. And he's shooting 16% from the field.
And one hater. Did he draft him? He's untradeable.
He can develop him.
He took a pay cut to come and be significant for us. That better be Barkless.
More money.
See, I'm not alone. People are going to pay him more than
more minutes, more fouls. His plus minus is terrible.
What's the people that were going to pay him more than we are need to send us some money.
That's
okay. His highest average per season. That Chris is talking about is 10 points in 2016 and 2017.
That's what I wanted from him, about 10, 12 points. That's just what I said. That ain't funny to me.
That's not asking too much. That's
funny to everybody
else. If Mo Hawkins gave you 10 points a night, it'll change the fortunes of this squad a little bit.
You know what?
On Shane Battier's best nights when we was running with Shane Battier.
Shane Battier's going to come and slap you, Chris.
Shane Battier was giving us 10, 12 points, and we was
left. Yeah, but that's when he was on his decline. He was giving us
decline.
10 points. Decline.
And he was still 3-and-D threat like a motherfucker.
Now, we just big the man up. Tiff just big the man up for playing good defense today.
One game, but there's been games where
I blasphemy go by, Chris. I'm sorry,
that's not blasphemy because y'all be, it's such a sliding scale. Why is 10 points from Shane Batty okay, but 10 points from Mo Harkless is
Nick, it ain't about the points, it's about the complete lack of impact on a game.
Did you say the implete? What
the complete lack of impact. No. Just because you make a shitty points, don't be trying to.
If Mo Harkless could give us 10 points, I would shut the fuck up. Like,
I
he
would.
Can't give us 10
I
points.
I want to shut the fuck up.
I would shut up.
Harkless.
He had one decent game on the defensive end, and I got everybody in my mentions.
Who going to give us 12 points first, him or Kendrick?
Kendrick.
I mean, Kendrick had 18 tonight.
Y'all had me back on here when Mo Harkless gave you four straight games where he having like 10, 12.
Oh, well, Chris.
Now you will never be back on
here, Chris. We're never going to see you.
We're in Brooklyn.
I'll holla at you. Drip drop to the farewell show. Christopher Batty.
It's good to talk to you, my brother.
Because you ain't coming back.
You ain't coming back.
I see you on LSO. Good to have you.
Oh, being by my brother.
I'm glad you came by today, my brother.
You ain't got to go home, but you got to get down.
You ain't coming back.
No,
you won't
it.
Be invited back. Say no, I'm kidding.
All right. The last thing I want to do is I just want to give, I think we have not talked enough about probably the most steady player on the Heat all season, who has been Duncan Robinson. Like, whether he's scoring big points or not, like, he has been really good on the defensive end. Not great, but
not great.
Solid.
Again, beat.
But the help defense has been strong. Like, he is one of those guys that helps those undersized fours maintain their defensive principles. Like, he's done a really good job helping guys like Kelly Olynyk not get fucking murked every single game. And he has time and time again hit that timely three. So I want to give a lot of props to Duncan Robinson. I want to go clockwise and just everybody give your last takes of the night, whether it be about the Heat, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, whatever it is. I don't give a fuck because it's an hour in at this point. You still watching. You already know what it is. Go ahead, Parrish. What's your outtake?
I'm gonna say my outtake. I'm gonna say drip drop one more time.
Drip drop.
And then I'm just gonna say I'm happy for a Heat win. The Heat they overachieved last season. I do think the Heat are a playoff team. They're right. What are they? Eight? I think they're what 9 or 10 right now. I think the Heat can make the playoffs
like
10, for sure.
They're like 12.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
It's too early to look at the stats.
Yeah, I'm not going to forget though. I said it. We got to win. Let's just keep moving forward, keep getting better. Let's get our players back healthy, and then we can really make some serious evaluations. I don't think – when's the last time Jimmy played? I feel like I haven't seen Jimmy in a long time.
Jimmy hasn't played in half the games, I believe.
Yeah, so I was going to say, like, we can't really make any real evaluations until we get the full team back and really playing together.
But I just don't want to get so far behind the eight ball that it's just it's a lost cause. So
they're three games out of first, by the way. So
are they really?
Yeah, they are.
It's early.
So it's early, but I'm saying at the same time, I just don't, you know, like I'm glad for the win because we what was it, like a 4-game losing streak? So I'm
three
just
happy game. For the win. Yeah, it's nice. It's a good win.
It's a good win. You know what I'm saying? It's a good
Shimon, win. What do you take away from tonight? Take away overall, if you just want to drop a political hot take, go ahead. Do whatever you want. I do want to say one thing before I let Shimon talk. Sorry. Those we talked about it on LSO Sports, but we have not talked about it on Hangover Time. Those jerseys in the back are Siobhan's jerseys. So we all need to remember there's a lot of dudes out here on Miami Heat Beat and Hangover Time talk a lot of shit about basketball. Siobhan has played at the high school, collegiate, and professional level. So I just want to give Siobhan those props. And Tiffany as well has played at some of the highest levels. So of the five people on this broadcast right now, remember the two people that have played at high levels are the two ladies at the bottom.
I played JV, my nigga.
Yeah. And this nigga Chris talking about AAU.
I went to Glenn Rice basketball camp at JCC growing up.
I coached a middle school team to zero wins 1 year. I just want to I think Siobhan has both Siobhan and Tiffany have such rich, great stories. I think we need to tell them more. I think a lot of times we just out here like, Siobhan, what's your take? Tiff, what's your take? And we don't take the time to get in depth to like what they really bring to the table. And we will do that more. But I just want to say that because we have never really brought that up on Hangover Time or Miami Heat Beat. We did it on LSO Sports, but I just wanted to do that real quick. So go ahead, Siobhan. What is your take after I embarrass you and make, you know?
I appreciate that. Whenever you want to tell stories, we can. My take is the issues are the issues. Something has to give. And go find MLK's deep cuts.
Yes, please. Stop with the hold hand shit and get down to the nitty gritty. What this nigga was all about.
That man is not sleeping in peace. He being used every year.
Every year to pacify black folk, and I'm sick of it.
For some malarkey.
Listen, malarkey. What I want to tell y'all, all the white people that are still tuned in and listening, all four of y'all, if you see black people doing what you think is acting up, and you try to use an MLK quote to pacify us, you are literally going against that man's principles and what he was trying to say. So stop that fuckery. Stop that flim-flam and that whatever Chris said before. And that flim-flam and that gibberish.
That hullabaloo.
Tiffany Meeks, who also played the game at very high levels. Remember, I don't be bringing people on the show that don't know shit about what – I need people to understand. Just because you be out here on Twitter following me and talking to me, I don't be bringing people on the show that don't know shit about basketball. I don't know shit about basketball, so I need to bring on people who know what the fuck they talking about, and that's why Tiffany is my right hand, and the only reason Chris is here is because it's MLK Day. But Tiffany knows her shit, played at the highest levels, was recruited by Pat motherfucking Summit, so if you need to know Tiffany's credentials, let that be known right there. She was recruited by the greatest basketball coach in college history. So go ahead, Tiffany. What are your takeaways from tonight or overall?
I'm just going to keep it short. They tried. Just like half of America. That's it.
Thanks. I love that. Okay, Chris, go on. They tried like half of America. Chris, go ahead, man. LSO Sports Takeover Hangover Time. Chris Maddox is, and I keep fucking with him in his big head. I wish he would use that head to block that shiny ass light behind his ass. Hey, but man. My man is the impetus and the reason for Light Skin Opinions, the host of Light Skin Opinions. If you guys have not checked out Light Skin Opinions, please do. The show is fucking fire. It's funny as fuck. We're doing LSO Sports on the Twitch channel, but go find our YouTube page, subscribe. We're going to be doing live shows every week and then posting them on Spotify, posting them on YouTube. We're doing it big this year. Chris, what are your takeaways from tonight?
My main takeaways are just that I think the NBA players would make Martin Luther King proud. I think a lot of what we've seen out of the NBA this year and last summer, we saw a lot of young men who kind of understand their place and the platform that they have and are not using it, in Siobhan's words, to like be the cookie cutter commercial MLK. But a lot of the guys who we highlight for what the work they're doing is they're in on those deep cuts, and they understand in the way that King understood that this struggle is not just skin deep. Like it's so much ingrained into the culture of our country and our society, and it's going to take that much more work. We talk about it on LSO all the time. Martin Luther King's greatest achievement, as sad as it is to say, was that he made being racist in politic. He made it being something. He made it something that you had to tuck away and hide. And unfortunately, over the last couple of years, we've seen that start to wear off. So even though we're just talking about basketball, that's why I'm glad we get the opportunity to bring the man's name up and to have conversations like this for people who just came to hear about what's going on with the Heat.
Perfectly said. And I'm not going to add much more to it, but I want everyone who participates in this day and takes this day off and does whatever they do with the day, I really want y'all to really, really look into what Dr. King stood for. There's a lot of these quotes they pull out that they cherry pick, like I said, to pacify us and to pacify the people, and to say that we need to all hold hands with the same people that are subjugating us each and every single day. I want you to really look at what Dr. King said when he said that America is about socialism for the rich and rugged individualism for the poor. Like, remember what the man said. So before you go out here and spouting the I have the dream, all hold hands, remember what that man said. He was about economic growth. He was about empowerment of people. He was about more than just that I have a dream speech and children holding hands across the world. There's more to it than that. And we are still struggling with this to this day. And like Chris said, there are a lot of NBA players, the Jaylen Browns, even the Kyrie Irvings. I know y'all mad at my mans. Believe me, he out here doing real work. LeBron James doing real work. This guy's doing that real, real, real work to this day. So please, you know, before you guys spout off on some MLK shit, understand what that man was really about. Understand what Malcolm was about. You know, we're going to talk about this on Thursday on Life and Opinions. Watch One Night in Miami and understand the gray areas of the civil rights movement and how there are different ways to approach this thing, and there's no real wrong way. And that the civil rights movement, like Siobhan was trying to say, there are color pictures of MLK in Jamaica. You know, like this was not that long ago. MLK, if he was alive today, would be it's the same age as Nancy Pelosi. Think about that.
This is a denim.
Think about, I'm doing that. What's that nigga? I'm doing that
meme. Yeah.
Yeah. That, think about that. He'd be the same. Nancy Pelosi out here running things, and we acting like MLK died 100 years ago. He'd be the same age as Nancy Pelosi. It wasn't that long ago when my people couldn't drink the same water fountain as y'all could. So please think about that. Good night. We will see you guys Wednesday night and then Thursday night for LSO. Tune in tomorrow night for Miami Heat Beat Podcast. Thank y'all for joining us.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family.
Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each four-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour four-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m., and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.